वासुदेवाय Saveshu Shashvat Tanubhisa Vastitam
Saveshu Shashvat Tanubhisa Vastitam
Saveshu Shashvat Tanubhisa Vastitam
Saveshu Shashvat Tanubhisa Vastitam
Yatatam Atmanam Abhishtam Ishvaram
Yatatam Atmanam Abhishtam Ishvaram
Yatatam Atmanam Abhishtam Ishvaram Vedopagitam Chanashimvate Buddha Vedopagitam Chanashimvate Buddha Manoratanam Pravadanti Vataya Manoratanam Pravadanti Vataya Saveshu Shashvat Tanubhisa Vastitam Yatatam Atmanam Abhishtam Ishvaram Vedopagitam Chanashimvate Buddha Manoratanam Pravadanti Vataya Shashvat, eternal, Tanubhisa, embodied living beings, Avastitam, situated, Tata, just as, Tam, is time, Atmanam, supreme soul, Abhishtam, most worshipable, Ishvaram, ultimate controller. Veda Upangitam glorified by the Vedas. Cha also. Nasrimate, they do not hear. Abhuda, unintelligent persons. Manaratanam, of whimsical pleasures. Pravadanti, they go on discussing. Vataya, topics, translation. The personality of Godhead is eternally situated within the heart of every embodied being. Still, the Lord remains situated apart, just as the sky, which is all pervading, does not mix with any material object. Thus, the Lord is a supreme worshipable object and the absolute controller of everything. He is elaborately glorified in the Vedic literature, but those who are bereft of intelligence do not like to hear about him. They prefer to waste the time discussing their own mental concoctions, which inevitably deal with gross material sense gratification, such as sex life and meat eating. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Vedaisa Savai Aham Eva Vidya. The goal of all Vedic knowledge is to know the Lord, who is the Absolute Truth. Although this purpose of the Vedas is clearly revealed both in the Vedic literature itself and by the self-realized acharyas, foolish people cannot grasp this simple truth. They prefer to cultivate knowledge of illicit sex by discussing their sexual partners and experiences. They also eagerly describe and renown and recommend to their friends the best restaurants for eating meat and their form of glorifying drugs and liquor by elaborately describing the drunken and hallucinogenic effects of their sinful experiences. The materialistic saints gratified legally call one another on the telephone, congregate in clubs and committees, and enthusiastically go on hunting, drinking, and gambling excursions, thus filling their lives with a moral ignorance. They have neither the time nor the inclination to discuss an absolute truth, Krishna. Unfortunately, they neglect the Supreme Lord, who therefore severely punishes such foolish persons in order to bring them back to their senses. Everything belongs to the Lord, and everything is meant for the Lord's enjoyment. When the living entity dovetails his activities for the pleasure of the Lord, he experiences unlimited happiness. Yena satvam sutyet yasmat brahma saukhyam anantam. There is actually no happiness in material affairs, and the Lord mercifully punishes the intoxicated conditioned soul to bring him back to his real life. Unfortunately, materialist persons do not heed the advice of the Supreme Lord in Bhagavad Gita or that of the Lord's representatives who speak in allied literatures such as Srimad Bhagavatam. Instead, such sense gratifiers consider themselves to be most eloquent and learned. Every materialistic person actually feels that he is the most intelligent person, and thus he has no time to hear the actual truth. Nevertheless, the personality of Godhead, as described in this verse, waits patiently within the heart of the conditioned soul, encouraging him to recognize the Lord, who is seated beside him. Such recognition of the personality of Godhead is the beginning of all auspiciousness and happiness for the conditioned soul. Saveshu sasvatam vrishnavasitam yathātam atmanam abhishtam ishvaram vedopadītam chanasvindate buddha manoratanam pravadanti vātaya. The personality of Godhead is eternally situated within the heart of every embodied being. Still, the Lord remains situated at the heart, just as the sky, which is all pervading, does not mix with any material object. Thus, the Lord is the supreme worshipable object and the absolute controller of everything. He is elaborately glorifying the Vedic literature, but those who are bereft of intelligence do not like to hear about him. They prefer to waste their time discussing their own mental concoctions, which inevitably deal with gross material sense gratification, such as sex life and media. Om Magyana Pimandasya, Pinanjana Sapaya, Lakshnamuritam Yena Tasmani Sri Garavayamana, Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Tasaya Padaya, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Pinamne, Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pacharine, Nivishesa Sinhavati Pasuchanti Shakani. It's described in the Upanishads, which Prabhupada also quoted in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that within the body there's a soul and there's Jivatma, and there's super soul, the Paramatma, who are seated on this in within the body of the living entity in the heart region, like two birds. One bird is a Paramatma, super soul, and the other bird is Jivatma, the conditioned soul. And throughout the journey of the conditioned souls within this material world, different bodies, Paramatma very faithfully follow with this jiva in all different species of life. You cannot find a person closer to you than Paramatma. Sometimes people express their feelings for another person, you are so close to my heart, especially between you are the closest to me in my heart. Nobody can be closer than Paramatma. He's right next to us. And no one can be a better friend. If someone claims to be our best friend, you ask him, if I ever end up in jail, would you follow me and keep me company? From one jail to another jail. And that's Paramatma. He's been following us from one jail. This material body is like a jail. Or this material world is considered like a jail. And Paramatma has been following us from one jail to another jail. From one body to another body. Faithfully. Very faithful. You cannot find a more faithful friend than Paramatma. And very patiently just waiting for the jiva to turn to him. Waiting for this bird. This bird is too absorbed in himself, too busy trying to taste the fruits of the trees. And forgetting and neglecting his best friend and well-wisher, the super soul. This is what happened when one is overwhelmed by material desires, and overwhelmed by most of material nature. Tendency is to forget the Supreme Personality of God. This is one of the potency of Maya. Maya has two potencies. One is to pull us down, the other is to cover us over. So when one is in the group of Maya, his consciousness becomes covered, his pure consciousness becomes covered by ahankara, false ego. Thinking that I and mine and all the extensions of the body become very, very important. It becomes it all. We find that out recently during Christmas. When people meet up about the family, the extension of the family, and the extensions of the extensions. One big family. So, and become such absorbed in the ahankara, one forget what is his real interest in life. And therefore they have no time. Because all these attachments to things that they feel are very important will take up all of their time and all of their energy. So they have no time for Krishna. They have no time to hear about Krishna. What is the most common objection that you meet when you go and book this illusion? When you try to stop up on the street. No time. We all have the same time. We all have 24 hours a day. It's a matter of what we use our time for. So what do the materialists use the time for? If they have no time for Krishna, what do they use the time for? And that's very nicely described by Shukadeva Goswami in the second canto of Bhagavatam. Sotivyadini Rajata Nimam Shanti Shahasasa Apashata Patatapam Grihesu Griha Nevinam. So you're saying that all these, usually people who are very much engrossed in material sense gratification, they will have no time to hear about the glories of the Supreme Body. But they will have plenty of time to engage in topics regarding the body. They'll talk about all kinds of material activities and all kinds of sense gratification. Plenty of time. And you find them sitting in cafes, hours and hours sitting down, talking and talking and talking. Prabhupada say all this yakking. It's like the frog, the croaking of the frog. How does the frog croak? Inviting the jaws of death. In the dark, when the frog is croaking, then the snake will hear and feel it. Oh. And that's what's happening. All these people, they're just yakking away, and just, they don't realize that the jaw of them is just around the corner. And especially see also old people. A lot of old people, when they retire, they don't know what to do with their time. They don't have to go to work. So you should hang out with other retired people in the library or in the clubs or community hall, and then they yak. Or then when it's time to go for dinner, they go home. That's the life. Very pathetic. For the self-realized lover, when they see such lifestyle, they think this is very pathetic. But for those people who absorb such sense gratification, they think this is ecstatic. This is great. Oh, I really had a good time with my friend yesterday. Yeah, but what do you do? I said, we had a good time yesterday. What do you do? We just sat around, we hang out, and we talk. And then a good time. What did they talk about? Eating, sleeping, making this hang out. Usually it is about all the eating and all the sleeping and all the making and defending that they have done in the past. Chewing the chew. Chewing the same topics over and over and over again. No juice. Although of course the devotees, we also chew on the same thing. But there's so much rush in chewing the topics of Krishna. It's ever fresh. So this is the problem in the material world. When one becomes overwhelmed. And when there's so much overwhelmed by one's material desires, sense gratification, they have no connection with the super soul. They can't hear. They can't hear the super soul. Because they're too busy. And in the Bhagavatam Shukadeva Goswami, in the next verse, he was saying, Nidraya Yate Naktam Nidraya Yate Naktam Vyavajana Savavaya Diva Chatehaya Rajan Kutumba Varanenama. There's an exact translation for that. So the lifetime of such an envious householder is passed at night, either in sleeping or in sex indulgence, and in the daytime, either in making money or maintaining family members. This is how people pass their life. This is how they live their life and pass their time. All activities of sense gratification related to eating, sleeping, waking, defending, they have developed into an art form. In anything to do with eating or sleeping or making or defending, such an art form that they create so many books. They're experts in it. They're experts in food technology. How to eat, what to eat, when to eat, and different portions. All this are there. Just to eat is such a complicated, they're created, maybe so complicated. I mean, eat, what's the problem? Just eat. It's just thin, it's stuck in the face and chew on it and swallow it and it's the body will do the work. But they have to make it so complicated. Everything has to be complicated. The whole industry is created. And sleeping. They have experts who study sleep pattern. They study sleep. You can go into a clinic and then they put you in the machine and study your sleep pattern. Why not the improper sleep? When is the exact time you're going to deep sleep and the dreams that they try to translate the dream, to read the dream, what it all means, and on and on and on. All of the bed, you try to go and buy a bed or a mattress, you get confused. You really get confused when you go into like, yeah, this bed is for this and this bed is for that. So many different kind of mattresses. And that's one company. And different other companies, there was a different style. And everyone claims this is the best. You sleep on my mattress, you have the best sleep ever. The whole industry. And making. How many books are about written about it. Relationships. Relationship between male and female. It's not a big thing. Man need woman, woman need man, if they want to attach. They got to send it. And then everything starts. That's not what Baba means. That's what the Lord Vishnu explained in a very simple term. Everything starts between the attraction between male and female. And from that attraction, children comes. And then all everything that comes about it, maintain that. Children and family. What is the use of having a family without other family members to relate to? And friends and social circle. And work, and you have to work. And you have to work more and more to maintain everything. Then you have to buy a car. And this car is not good enough because the neighbor has some other car. Like a bigger car. Sometimes you see these so-called rich people drive around fancy cars and big houses, fancy buildings. These are some of the most broke people. Because it's so easy keeping up with the Jones. They are always spending and always spending their credit cards. Their 10 credit cards open up, it's like a whole row of credit cards, they're all overdrawn. And then overdrawn from this one to pay the other one, and overdrawn this one to pay the other one, and after a while you can't keep the balance anymore. So in the thought of relationship, and every year how many such books comes out? And then they start to discover sex life, how to perform sex life, this and then all these things. It's amazing. The whole industry. And then of course the defending, you have to defend it more. That's where the insurance company comes on. They play on fear. They play on the fear of the people. And they always give this example. They say, oh, we have a client. You know, luckily he just signed on the paid dot by life insurance, and the next day the car accident and died. And then now his family are taken care of. So what do you buy? Who's going to take care of the family? And who's going to take care of this and that? So this is amazing. You just examine this. If you look really carefully, examine this material world. You just center around this point, give me eating, sleeping, making, defending. And so much time. It's just very basic needs. Eating, sleeping, making, defending. It's very, very basic needs of any living creature. It does not require a whole material to center around it. You can think about how eating, sleeping, making, defending very simply, without much complication. And that's actually the whole purpose of the human form of life. Yes, you need to take care of this thing, do it. Don't make a big deal out of it. Use the rest of the time for an energy to pursuing a goal which is more glorious. But when our mind is so much disturbed and agitated, we cannot hear super soul. It's not that sometimes people when they are in a suffering condition or say they see some suffering condition, they say, oh, how can they be a God? They cannot be a God because how can they allow all this to happen? Innocent children are getting killed and suffering dying from starvation and so on. Or if there is a God, he cannot be a good God. These are just statements of ignorant people. They do not know actually super soul is a real friend traveling with us. Who would do that? Traveling with us from jail to jail. No one would do that. But the fault lies within us that we're neglecting. We're neglecting our best friend. Why? Because we're too busy. Our minds are too busy with other things. And yet, super soul is just sitting there
waiting for us to turn to Him. Sometimes, super sweet coming. As we discover Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, a super sweet secret within everyone's heart. Savasya Chami Disanavisto, Matta Smiti Gyanam Apahana Chami. Sound situated within the heart of every human. And from me come knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So Krishna is reminding us. He's telling us, but we are not listening. Sometimes the conscience is there. They say conscience. And when we do something, when people do something bad, the conscience is telling them. But what do people do? They just neglect. They neglect it. It's not that people have no conscience. They neglect the conscience. They keep neglecting and neglecting after a while. They can't hear it anymore. They put so many layers in between that they can't hear it. So that's why Bhagavad Gita also said, for one who has controlled mind, then super soul is rich. So in order to reach super soul, one has to calm down the mind. Has to really calm it down. Then we can hear. Otherwise we are too busy with our plans, with our goals, with our so many things, desires. We can't hear. And that happens to you also to devotees. Sometimes you want something. And then we so get caught up. We get so much caught up in what we want. We lose connection with spirituality. We become so absorbed in what is happening in our life, the circumstances surrounding us. We lose track of what is spirituality. We lose perspective. It's just like recently, one devotee asking me, keep asking me, going through different pages and ask, what do you think I should do? Should I do this? So many ideas popping up in him, swimming around. So what is your advice? I said, am I doing? I said, my advice to you is the same advice that your Guru Maharaj gave you. Just pray for the deities. I said, this is not the time to make decisions. Because it's mind all over the place. Not the time to make decisions. Now is the time to go into internal meditation. Now is the time to really calm down and pray to the deities for guidance. So when you ever calm down the mind, forget about all these plans, calm down the mind, and again get in touch with the super soul. And things will reveal itself. Krishna will reveal to us, and we will become inspired. We get inspired. They become very clear. This is what I should do. Now, of course, we get confirmed. We ask, this I really inspired by this. What do you think? And if the spiritual master, like the senior master, say, yes, that's a good idea. And then we can proceed with it. Otherwise, it's just, You ever find yourself in a situation like that? The more you try, the more confused you become. Why? Because the further we are, giving ourselves further and further away from the super self. So the sign of work up here in the end. The personality of Godhead has described this verse, waits patiently within the heart of the conditioned soul, encouraging him to recognize the Lord who is sitting beside him. Such recognition of the personality of Godhead is the beginning of all auspiciousness and happiness for the conditioned soul. So people do not know the art of auspiciousness and happiness. They become so engrossed in a sense, but we can become proud by the achievements. This will explain in the next verse. That people become proud also when they attain some opulences in life. They have some achievement in life. Then they think, I do not need God. Olha ali. Mas na inteligência, our everything figure out. Are you, I love this one. There's one for you who we love. Right? It's provided by this one cinema, okay? I can't remember the name of the movie, and there was a very famous Bollywood actor, and I think he's dead now. Probably you'll know when I tell it. So he was working in some restaurant, some cleaning job or whatever. And he was buying his lottery. This is life. In English, it's this is life. You seen it? Who has not seen it? Watch it. I tell you, better than Shah Rukh Khan. He was an honest, and he had this Muslim friend. This Muslim was very devoted Muslim, and was saying, no, Allah, by the mercy of God, you get everything to me. He said, no, what is this God business? You know? I'm not intelligent. I'll figure out this priest, you know. And one time, then he took some money from the donation box in his altar that his wife would aside to, I think, to buy lottery or something. And then in the night, in a dream, Krishna appeared to him in a dream. He said, you stole my money. I said, okay. Alright, thank you for your favor, your interest. You know, you're talking business now. He said, I don't need, you know. My brain, I'll figure everything out. So he won, and he earned a lot of money, started a business, and built big restaurants and hotels, and become a big tycoon. And he has all his plans for his children. He had two sons and one daughter. So one son married, and my son will go to America and study, get an MBA or whatever. My daughter will marry to a rich family home, and da da da. So the elder son became misled by the father-in-law. Instead of serving ghee, he was serving some cheap imitation. And was skimming money off the business. The second son became a gambler and a drinker. And the daughter got involved with he was learning horse riding, got involved with the stable boy, and got pregnant. All of them was ruined. And Krishna keep appearing before him, and he keep rejecting. No. He said, what is this? What time you're reading this? He says, what is this, Krishna? Yeah, what is pilgrims, all your devotees, going from pilgrimage to see you, and they all die in a bus accident. I don't need that. So I'm going to take care of myself. And Krishna made fun of him. This man started to become all kinds of sicknesses. And Krishna was pointing out to him, he said, well, what is this? He said, this is my sin, and this is that's something my sin, and that's something my sin. And then he caught on to it, oh, okay. my sin. No, many of these medicine actually came at my sin. Reaction. So in the end, he actually came to his senses. So that's also what happened. And frequently also in the prayers he prayed, you know. That sometimes people when this Aishwarya, opulences of good birth, one aristocratic family, beauty, good, beautiful body features, good education, sometimes these are stumbling blocks on the power of devotional service. Because people become proud. They think by my intelligence, by my this and that. There's a in Chinese we have a saying that says sometimes people are less in trouble, they won't go to the temple. When they're in trouble, only they go to the temple, and then they can, oh, please give me this, give me that, please. You give me this, then I'll come back and offer, you know, some donation. I remember when I was young, my grandmother took me to the temple just before my high school exam. So pray, you know, pass the exam, and after the pass the exam, I came back and offer incense again and give donation. And then when I was very sick, when I was young, I had appended by appendix. It was almost, just almost blow up because the doctor gave. The doctor went to give a wrong diagnosis. Almost died from it. So again, pray and please help him get well. After I got well. So when people in a suffering condition, then they remember God. Or when they, and after that, okay, business as usual. When they want to give what they want, that's why Krishna both all want to give. Because if I give, you forget. What's the point? So it's very rare to see someone who is actually very successful in life surrender to Krishna. Well, normally they take shelter of all these other things. There's a verse from Sukadeva Goswami, a whole series of words he was explaining. Just glorifying Maharaj for making such important inquiries about life. Making such important questions. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami said, normally people do not ask this question. They're more interested in eating, sleeping, waiting, defending. That's how they spend all the time. And on top of that, they just take shelter of the body. They have Patya, Kalata, these Arjuna scientists, Sasati. They have Prabhupada, Nidana, Prashana, Pina, Pashati. They shelter of the body, all the extension of the body, my bank balance, my house, my car, my share. Nobody is thinking of that these days. Just a few months ago, I think I would pick portfolio. You know who are the people who suffered the most in the recent crash? The three big Indian tycoons. Ambani lost $30 billion in 1 year. In the last 3 months, he lost $30 billion. So how infallible this? That's why Krishna called it Asat. Asasati. They are fallible soldiers. Imagine that this will give me protection, but actually in reality it don't. Often remember, I'm not going to give this example, when I was in Germany in the 70s, towards the mid-70s, there was a time when America was installing all these missiles in Germany, which is considered as the front line against the Warsaw Pact. And on paper, there were all these troops, and there were all these tanks, and all these missiles, and planes, and everything. In reality, most of them don't work. It's a bit embarrassing, but since I started the story, I used to go clubbing in Germany. So in this club, there are a lot of GIs. American soldiers who come on the weekend. And I make friends with some of them. And they told me that usually on the weekend, most of them are so stoned from drugs, or so drunk. If the Warsaw Pact would attack on the weekend, you'll find most of them are too stoned, they don't know where to point the guns. But people were thinking, what? What is missiles? What is military arrangement, we are protected. Where is the protection? So I used to laugh and shake my head and say, wow, this is really amazing, you know? They make such a big thing out of it that we have all this, and then, but in reality, they can't protect anyone, they can't even protect themselves. It's a stone faith. So this is nature material, whole illusion. And people are taking shelter of it. That's why the last one I said, Rashaya Atmanina. Atmanina, it's only the mind that people are thinking they're having shelter. And here in this verse, they're known to be unintelligent. Abuddha. And Manoratana. Manoratana. That's another verse in Bhagavatam. They describe. Not only the materialists who neglect the Supreme Personality of God, but also the so-called spiritualists. Those spiritualists who neglect Yeya Ravindashya Vimokta Mahinas, Tayasya Bhava Avasudha Buddhaya, अरुया कृष्णा परम पदम सता पदान दिया तो ना जो इतना यूज में आम रहा है
इसे दोस को neglect to worship the lotus eye god they are considered to be avisuddha buddhaya they are still impure the intelligence are still impure and they are manorakena the same word here manorakena manorakena because they are still seated on the chariot of the mind here in this verse translated whimsical pleasures that's what the chariot of the mind do the chariot of the mind will carry through all kinds of whimsical pleasures all kinds of speculations regarding sense gratification it's all speculation because we imagine that all these activities will give us pleasure which it doesn't it really doesn't it's only the mind we imagine that will give us pleasure but in reality it doesn't so therefore the only real pleasure or the beginning of all auspicious is to recognize and acknowledge the personality of God. Actually, amazingly enough, successful people, some people who are a bit more enlightened materialists, who have some sense of bigger things in life, of the universe and stuff like that, they do acknowledge that the higher power. They may not be very specific and not very clear about it, but they do acknowledge the higher power, or they call it God, whatever it's called. The law of the universe, the power, the high God, and high powers. They do acknowledge that. And they do, in their process of achieving wealth, they acknowledge and offer thanks. They offer thanks. They understand where it all comes from. So when I read something like that, oh, that was interesting. Compared to just downright just me, my power, and all this. They actually realize how little power they actually have. And in order to achieve what they want, they actually have to tap into the source of all power. They call the source of all abundance. And everything. You have to tap into that and acknowledge that. And part of the process is to offer gratitude. To feel gratitude for what they have already achieved and offer thanks. So that was interesting. So anyway, that's the beginning of all auspiciousness as described by Bhagavan. That we have to at least recognize and acknowledge the Supreme Personality of God is situated within our heart. And He is our well-wisher. He is our best friend. And when we align ourselves with Him, or align our desire with Him, then all auspiciousness will fall. And all happiness will just flow from that. It's just a matter of alignment. Aligning our consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness. That's the oneness we want to achieve. The oneness with the plan of the Supreme Lord. Okay, are we in here? Are there any questions or comments? How do we achieve this alignment? Well, one of the good way to start is praying. Actually, it cannot be overemphasized the importance and the power of prayers. It is such an important aspect of our Krishna conscious life. I'm chanting of Hare Krishna, that's a prayer. He's praying. We're praying to Krishna. Please, my dear Lord, please engage me in your service. So how intensely we are chanting
will be will manifest in how intensely we will be engaged. We are praying for Krishna, we are asking. So are we asking nonchalantly? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Are we really intense that Krishna will hear our prayer? And when we are intensely chanting and Krishna hears our prayers and reciprocating, then we find how our devotion life will just manifest right in front of us. Everything will just flow. It all centers around chanting, how intensely and how concentrated we are and attentive we are when we're chanting. And besides that, we can pray. We should develop a habit of praying. Praying to the deities. Praying before we go to bed. Praying the first thing we wake up in the morning. It should develop in such a way that it becomes a conversation. You develop such a habit of praying and become so, your awareness becomes so awakened that it becomes like a conversation with the Super Soul throughout the day. I remember this time, that's the time when I actually developed this habit of praying, and I must admit that the habit has been slack in recent years. But I remember the time when my Sankirtan leader was Smita Krishna Swami, he was a Brahmacharya at that time. He was telling what Guru Das, you know, Guru Das, one of the six devotees who went to America, I mean, brought Krishna consciousness to England. He was quoting him as saying the secret, he said the secret of bhakti solution is so when I heard that, I embraced that and into my habit, daily habit, and started praying. And it became more and more and more and more. And then when I was a Sankirtan leader, I was teaching it to the devotees in the party, so and so we were practically having competition in praying. I remember one time we were always competing with Switzerland and in Sweden. And one time our teacher master was saying, but they're doing better because they are better at praying. and that kind of reinforced the idea of praying. And I remember sometimes before we go to bed we pray and then we look, oh, he's still praying. Yeah. Pray more. You know, the one who prayed the most intense of you will teach you the most books. And so we pray, before you go outside the time, before you just hit the street, we'll pray. I used to pray, quote the verse from the Bhagavad Gita, the last verse in the Bhagavad Gita, where it stated that wherever there's Krishna and Arjuna, there always be good tree and all species. You know, and it was like about our prayer relate to the situation. And after a while of this, it becomes a constant prayer. Down the street it becomes a constant prayer. And now when we're young, we're passionate. I was very passionate when I was young. So sometimes when on the street you ruffle a few feathers, people go to ruffle the kind of chicken. And then I get disturbed. And I'll always be like having constant conversation with Krishna. Oh, Krishna, please, no, I know I'm impure. Don't let this be a hindrance for them receiving your mercy. And then every situation I'll be like having a conversation, talking. And after a while, I become really excited. Even though sometimes it's tough, I become really excited because it's like 7-8 hours on the street that we're having a conversation with Krishna in between this situation. So we kind of develop that. It becomes a habit, it becomes so much in you that it's just like anything that happens, you just start talking to Krishna.
And then, Krishna, why did you do this?
That kind of thing. So, but by developing this habit of praying,
it gradually align yourself and your desire also according to how you pray. You see? In what you pray, gradually you're also aligning your whole desire, your whole consciousness also in that direction. And then you see also how Krishna is just fulfilling with that. It's actually the trial. You become attached to it. I guarantee you. I can't give you money back guarantee because I don't charge money. I guarantee you. That you become so tired to you, just like you just can't stop. Okay, now, are there any questions? Yes?
Well, you know, like you were saying how we pray to the deities to get the answers to our questions, and sometimes we get contradictory messages, and especially when you talk to devotees, they will give you like contradictory messages, and you think that the deities are answering the questions, but in fact it's more confusing, and how from there, how do you get to
open the You ask. You have your guru, you have the authority, you ask. That's why it's always very helpful in spiritual life to have mentors. You have a spiritual master, of course, but the spiritual master may not always be present. And sometimes it's not so convenient or may not feel so inclined to ask Guru everything. And sometimes just like in any family, sometimes the Guru may not be so approachable, the father may not be so approachable. No, it's like kind of authority. So therefore your uncles or your elders, your senior brothers, older brothers or whatever. So in our spiritual community, so you approach the guru, you approach the authority, temple authority, but sometimes if there's hesitancy, there are other senior devotees you can approach, who can give guidance. Because taking guidance is a very personal thing. Right? It's a personal relationship that is developed. And it's based on trust. So it's very important for devotees to develop relationship. Not only just with amongst your friends, but also develop a relationship with some senior devotee whom you have some faith and trust and who can give you guidance whenever it's needed. That's called mentoring. It's called a counseling system in Chaupati Temple. So you don't have to be like a formal system. Depends on each individual to seek it out. So and you'll find that when you have that, you find yourself will have more, feel more secure in your life. That you know there's always someone looking over me. I remember when growing up, I always have someone. I always seek out someone. So you should rise above this neophyte platform that only the guru is good enough. There are others who can help us. Maybe not all the way back from back to Godhead, but they can help us along the way. And the way I see it, the mentoring program is not guidance, but at least myself, when I do counseling for devotees, normally what I do is I try to inspire them to develop and help them to develop their faith and attachment to their spiritual master. So normally that's what other senior devotees are there for. Help you to strengthen your relationship with your spiritual master. They're not replacing the guru, but they're rather there to help you to strengthen that relationship.
Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada.